some miscommunications. That email went to all of us, so I apologize if it seemed pointing fingers at people who didn't deserve that. But we have not received messages back from those who had not attended meetings. Right now, I just switched over to a new iPhone. I lost all of my former prior email. So we did have. I did have a list of the attendance roster for the fiscal year. We will go back to confirm those people who had not come to any of the meetings or express an interest in continuing on or answer the email. With that said, we do have some members who have expired terms, and per the, again, bylaws and the state regs, after two terms, you can stay on only if there is not a replacement. I think once we have that list of, which we came up with today, of terms who have expired, I think we must actively seek to find replacements. But if in the meantime, you know, obviously people can be reappointed to serve, if we don't get those replacements, I think it's good to have new people from other agencies joining, some new blood. You know, I'd love all of you to keep on staying on, but we do have to find replacements. So if you have an expired term and are representing an organization, if you could please reach out to the organization and seek a replacement, that would be great. Otherwise, we'll get you reappointed. With respect to those who have missed three or more meetings, those positions should be, you know, replaced as soon as possible. So I'll ask for any input from the council with those who have missed three or more meetings and have done so for the last 2 years. What are people's thoughts about contacting the governor's office and having those people dropped from the SRC so we can find those replacements?
Bill, this is Carol.
Discussion on that. Yes, Carol.
My caution at the moment would be we're doing the state plan and it's due in January. At least BSBY's portion of the combined state plan is due in January. The whole Connecticut plan is due at March 4th. We're already out of compliance with the SRC board, and my caution would be to, if we have people removed from the board, we're going to be really out of compliance for the state plan, and I don't know if the SRC is ready to take on all of that right now, or if we should work on the vacancies and our current issues with non-compliance first and then address that.
I see. So you want to just keep the names on the roster for now so we have the numbers that we need.
And then once our vacant positions are filled and then those who are termed out have found replacements, then I would suggest work on the members who haven't attended the meetings and then working on that, kind of prioritizing the list.
Sure. Valid point. Anyone else?
I like that plan that Carol just mentioned. So at least we could cover ourselves until we can move forward. And that gives everybody a chance who's on the board to continue in that capacity.
Okay,
this is Bill. I'm okay. I'm okay with that. Also, it's a very difficult time in to get volunteers, and I don't think there's a long line of people that want to be on this thing. So maybe you keep it for now, and if you have replacements, you filter them in slowly.
Okay.
Yes,
I appreciate all the content and guidance on this. So there's no need for a vote or a motion or anything. We'll just keep it as is for now. I just want to mention also, I was invited to attend the advisory board meeting last week, and they're in the same boat. Their chair is resigning, as is Stephen Thal. Al Silvestri and Stephen Thal resigning, so they're in dire straits as well. And I had a conversation with Al after the meeting, and he's trying to get me over to there. But I think my wife will end up on the advisory board and try to help revive that. So any other questions on membership? Any concerns?
This is John Carnimola. Just a quick update. I also found my letter. I was appointed in January of 2020, so I am 1 year into second term at this point, assuming your appointment is available.
Of course.
I'm sorry, John, you said January of 2020 or 2021? Your reappointment. 2020, okay. So, all right, so you're ready, eligible for reappointment. All right, thank you.
And then as the email went out to all of the SRC members, we asked for people to volunteer for work groups. I'll have to go with Lucretia to go over that list again. Again, I don't have access to that email. One of the work groups, though, was membership. So if anyone is interested in, we really don't have a membership work group or committee. We have Lucretia and Carol. So if anyone's interested in membership, you can let me know. You know, let us know now, or we'll send a follow-up email to confirm work group assignments. For those who are not volunteering for a work group, we're going to assign you where we need you. Well, that's also in the bylaws that we're, if people are encouraged to join the work groups. It's painless. They don't meet very often, but we do important work in the groups. Next, we'll go to finance.
Good morning.
Scott.
So we had a few items purchased for the VR Tech Lab as part of their innovation and expansion initiative, which is one of the goals on the state plan. So we purchased a large screen laptop, a Clover Book Pro with speech, 3 Ruby 7-inch HD video magnifiers, 3 iPad 10th generation, and then some iPad accessories, and all of those totaled out to $5,626.66. That is the end of the report.
Any questions or clarifications needed? It's great to see technology being purchased. That's great. And these are all for clients or for a tech lab?
It's for the tech lab.
Okay, can someone from the Bureau clarify that? Are these going to be going to client, like 3 iPads, 3 this, 3 that? Are these just sitting in storage waiting to be assigned to a client?
This is Carol. So the VR Tech Lab was one of our state plan goals. So we're expanding the VR Tech Lab for demonstration equipment to consumers, as well as equipment that VR consumers could borrow and try out to see if it would be a device that would work for them.
Okay, great. So now, so the good thing is then, I guess we're providing tablets to clients, iPads to clients. That's a good thing. Very good. Any other questions on this? Okay, we're gonna move to the consumer satisfaction work group. I know there's a consumer satisfaction report, part of Mary's report, so we'll skip that for now. And I do want to go straight to the success story with the NIDAS client, only because we're running a little bit late on that. Anita?
I'm sorry, yes, the client success story, are we ready?
We are ready.
All right, let me inform my client to jump on, thank you.
And then, Phil, this is Carol. While Anita is doing that, I did the math. We are at 50% for blind consumers on the board. And so if we fill the workforce board position, I'm going to go on a limb and say that's probably going to be a sighted person. So we are currently not in compliance. Because 51% of the board has to be blind, visually impaired.
I will have Honorata get her application in. We'll get her on this this group. And while we're waiting for Anita, just under the work groups, I just want to mention probably the most important one is the annual state plan. Carol, how many members would you like on that? Because a lot of it is being done by your staff anyway, so I guess we just need, for protocol, people from the SRC.
I would say, besides myself, like 2 or 3 from the SRC.
And Bill, I think Bill is interested in joining that one. Is anyone else interested in the state plan work group?
This is Deb. This is Deb Reed. I would like to be on that.
Great, great.
Okay, we're on, Phil.
Okay, one second, I just, so Carol, so we'll get Bill DeMeo, Deb Reed, and myself with you. How's that sound?
Okay, sounds good. Thank you.
Great. Sure. Well, you can set up a meeting as soon as possible. We'll knock that out for you. Okay, next, we're going to Anita and your success story, please. Is yours.
Hi, everybody. Anita Mendoza, vocational counselor, southwestern part of Connecticut and greater Danbury area. This is Nicole Jazarian.
Hi.
She was my client. She is now employed, has her master's degree, so she's all set. What do you think, Nicole? And then just to let you know really quickly very brief, introduction for her, because certainly Nicole can do this for herself. So Nicole has been with VR since 2015. Her blindness, legal blindness, is a result of iris. Excuse, I might mispronounce this word. Coloboma. I apologize. And she came into our program requesting services to help her go back to school to acquire her master's degree in social work under the previous counselor, Michael Ferris. So I will hand the mic over to Nicole.
Thanks, Anita. Thank you all for allowing me to be here and share this moment with you. I do have to thank BSBE for being in my life since I was a little girl. I remember the first time I met a caseworker from BSBE. I was very young. Her name was, Patty Taylor. And I think the support that she gave my mom was extremely helpful. And it seems like during my whole lifespan, BSBE has been there for what I needed at the time that I needed it. So I just have to shout out a huge thank you to the organization as a whole for supporting me throughout my life. I did receive my master's in 2019. It took me a little longer than I had anticipated, but it, I was working full time at the time, and at that time I had a 9-year-old girl, and just navigating life with a disability, which I had always done. Obviously, I was born this way, and have sort of encompassed it and accepted it a long time ago, and have just sort of lived my life the way that I felt just that I wanted to live it. So, I don't think that comes without a lot of support. I do believe that it takes a village to raise a child, and it takes a village to raise someone with a disability as well. So I've been very fortunate in my life to have people who have supported me in many different ways, including BSBE and including Anita. And, the work with her has been amazing. She has given me exactly what I needed and the support that I needed, and has really been there for me, in ways that I can't even explain. So right now, currently, I just accepted a new position that I started right after Thanksgiving, and it's an individual sort of counseling position at the same organization that I was just working with, but in a different area. But I feel very successful in that. I think it's exactly where I need to be for what I need to learn at this time. I will be going to obtain my clinical license, hopefully within the next 3 months. And then that will just sort of elevate my status and my availability for different positions, that I will apply to in the future. So, Yeah, I'm happy to be a success story. I feel successful in my life and am very grateful and am blessed for the opportunities that I have had. So, you know, I don't know what kinds of questions you guys have, but I'm willing to, you know, invite those in and see, you know, what you want to know. I can do my best to answer them.
Well, congratulations on your success. This is Phil McGowanick, the chair of the council. We appreciate you being here. And what were some of the stumbling blocks you may have encountered during your progress to where you are right now?
Oh,
how were you helped by the Bureau?
Yeah, stumbling blocks. I think, you know, it's a weird position to be able to sort of see. you know, I'm not completely blind, and I thank the Lord for that. This was when I was about 13 years old, and I went to a camp in Brookline, Mass, and it was for persons with visual impairments and blindness. And I think it opened my eyes, no pun intended, to a lot of knowledge that I would never have had. And you know, and I know that that's not answering your question, but stumbling blocks are, you know, being able to see but not being able to see well enough. And I think that comes in like having to find my own way and figure out what is going to help me do the job that I need to get done at that moment in time. And so there's been a lot of trial and error. There's been a lot of knowledge that I didn't know that I needed to find out for myself. I think self-esteem is a huge stumbling block as well. Sometimes not feeling like I can do something that I know I can do, but just the sort of the conflict with that in my own mind. I think sometimes I get in my own way as well. And then, you know, just organizational things. Like I just really never put a lot of thought into, oh, I have a disability, so people are going to treat me differently. I just never really, like, really knew the impact of that until I actually got older and really saw some things that I didn't want to see them or want to believe them, but so I think, like, societal stumble blocks have always been there as well.
Great. And the services provided by the Bureau has helped you overcome a lot of these? In addition to the technology side of things and the tech and the mentoring you needed, what about, is there any need for more that, maybe mental health is the wrong word, but maybe support, peer support? Do you think that would be helpful, or having, with associating with other clients so that you kind of overcome things together? Because I know there's almost like a silo that I feel our clients are in. So I'm a client as well. And my wife is. I feel like, do you think having the ability to network with other clients who have similar interests or similar aspirations for employment, do you think that would be a benefit to you, or would it have been a benefit?
Oh, yeah, I think it benefits. And I think I've noticed that benefit more as I've gotten older, too. You know, I think I asked Anita a while ago, I'm like, does BESB hire any social workers? You know, I think mental health is huge. I remember growing up and yearly, there was like one day out of the year that I would feel like just defeated. And it was a very short stint in time, but it was like a moment that I remember like, oh my God, I would just be crying and why can't I do this? And I'm so sad and frustrated. And then I'd get over it and move on, you know, but I think peer support is very helpful. I was able to contact a couple of people who have the same disability I do through, I think Anita asked me to reach out to a couple people, which I did, which was a very nice thing. I kind of grew up in a place where I didn't really see anybody who was the same as myself, you know? And so I think I've only met maybe two people or three people, and like two of them were by chance. It was like on a transportation bus somewhere. Oh, wow. Where I got into this conversation with somebody and was like, oh my gosh, we have the same thing. So I do think that's tremendously helpful. Absolutely, positively.
That's great.
Can I,
yeah.
Can I chime in as well?
Of course.
Oh, sorry. So mentor, we do, and I'm pretty sure that we still have a list of mentors that are currently working that are legally blind that can provide some support, peer support. I know the late Barry Rita that retired 3 years ago, he had a mentor list of individuals that were employed in different career fields that could reach out to, you know, when Nicole needed, you know, one of those, you know, guidance in regards to, you know, listening to someone that's can, you know, empathize with her, you know. So I don't know if that's something, Mary, that we still have, we're privy to, we can utilize or actually reinvigorate and add to
resuscitate.
That mentor list.
Yeah, definitely resuscitate.
Actually, we,
Nicole.
Yep. We do have it. I actually asked for it the other day in relation to our state plan goals. So I actually do have the list, and the current list. And individuals who are pending because we have to do a background check. So, yes, I have it. Late breaking within the last day.
Right.
But I don't know if Nicole would be willing to, you know, Nicole, if you would be willing to sign up as a mentor.
Absolutely. Whatever I can do to help, I'm all for. That's sort of one of the things that I've been thinking about now is how do I give back and how do I help others? Because hopefully I can be helpful and I can be an inspiration and I can help with my story.
Absolutely. I think you can help a lot.
I think it's a key role to the success of most people because, well, we get the VR support and the tech support and the education and the formal or informal education. I think a lot of us with disabilities struggle sometimes on a daily basis. You know, we know we have these resources to help us get that job or start our own business, but the disability itself inherently gives us some anxiety, some stress, some doubt, mm-hmm. self-doubt. And mm-hmm. if that's not being addressed in any way, you know, we have social workers that intake us into the system, but there's no dealing with that along the way of VR. So I'm glad you came through this process with the attitude, and I think you will be able to pass it forward quite a bit, maybe get the conversation going to address mm-hmm. these factors along the VR journey. But mm-hmm. any other questions or comments?
Yeah, I'd like to pop in for a second. This is John McNichol. I guess I would like to, you know, say, hey, that's a great idea. You know, I am blind, ran my own business. You know, I got the great technical help to get me going. But that damn wall keeps popping up in front of me, and I walk into it, and I get frustrated. So that, and I am alone doing it, you know. Got a lovely wife and everything, but it's just, it's strange. People don't realize that you got to touch everything. They see you walking towards something. They don't know that until you touch, you don't know where you are. And that's a frustration, and you know, a place to discuss that type of thing would be great.
Absolutely, thank you for that comment.
Hi, Nicole. This is Kendra Valenti. How are you? Thank you
I'm
for
good,
sharing
Kendra.
That story. Thank you.
Sure.
I have a son who's visually impaired, close to legally blind. So I don't get it personally. but I see it. You know, it's emotional, and I think some of, you know, maybe where he could be helped with that a little bit is you don't always want to raise your hand and say, hey, I'm visually impaired, right, when you're at work. But sometimes I have to encourage him to say, you do need to say it sometimes so people understand some of your limitations, suggest modifications, work with people. So that's really hard in what I'm working on with him because he's always like, but Mom, I don't want to tell people. And I'm like, well, it's kind of obvious. I mean, he's close to legally blind. It's kind of obvious in a lot of ways. And then there's more understanding, not why can't you do this? Why don't you get it? So that's a little bit of our internal conversation and struggle. He's done amazing. I'm impressed with him every single day that he wakes up and what he does. But I appreciate your story, your success,
It's amazing, and I thank you for sharing it.
Oh, Kendra, I can so resonate with that, and I can resonate with him. And I know, even, you know, growing up, like, being a kid is hard, right? It's just hard in general.
Anyway.
Like, I just, you know, I remember times where I would be, like, reading my book up close, and people would, like, you know, bash my head into my book, and
yes.
Just a lot of those things that, you know, kids are kids, right? They don't you know, whatever. And I remember being a tween, and that was, like, that's the worst time for anybody anyway. I mean, you don't even like yourself at that moment in time. And trying to navigate that and a disability and trying to be accepted into, you know, the culture was difficult. I mean, I did have some really good friends and I went through the same teenage stuff. But there was, like, things like, you know, they wanted to put a camera in the back of the room and have me sit there and, you know, yeah. So I could see the board, which, I mean, would have been so helpful, but at that moment in time, I just wasn't ready. Like, I just couldn't wrap my head around just being that much of an eyesore. In my mind, that's sure. What it would be. But when I started working, you know, you kind of, it's like one of those things where you kind of have to give it up and say, listen, there are some things yeah. that I might not be able to do, or I need some accommodations. And I think there's a stigma to that, right? There's a stigma to the disability in itself. And so I understand the difficulty of that. And I think fortunately I've been a person who just keeps going and just keeps doing, because I don't know what else to do. And I've had some real challenges, and I've had people tell me, oh my God, I don't even know that you have, you know, like, I wouldn't even sure. know that you had a disability if you didn't tell me.
You look normal.
But yeah, it's like,
that, right?
it's hard. So I definitely empathize with that, and I can understand where he's coming from. But you know what, he is who he is, and I'm sure he's successful and strong, and there are so many other qualities and there are so many other strengths that we have because we have a visual disability, that sometimes I think we need to think about what we have instead of what we lack, you know?
Very well put, Nicole. Very yeah. well put. Thank you.
Very nice.
So with that said, we have to move on, but would you consider joining our council, the state rehab council, for best?
Oh, tell me what the commitment is, the time commitment.
We're only mandated to meet 4 times a year, quarterly, for about 2 hours. There may be, so you know, everyone should volunteer for one work group. That may be a couple more hours. So it's as much or as little as you want, but we really need you being fresh out of the system and a lifelonger. I think you could contribute quite a bit.
Sure. Okay.
We can talk offline. I can have
Let's talk offline about it.
Okay.
Yes. Very good. Absolutely. Right.
Thank you again for being here.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I appreciate
thank you.
It.
Thank you.
Have a happy holiday season.
You as well.
Happy holidays.
Okay.
Thank you.
We're going to skip over the consumer satisfaction survey for right now because I know Terrell has a meeting and I kept them longer than I thought I would. I attended the advisory board meeting last week and I was super impressed to hear 2 reports that are VR related. One was from Terrell about the BEP program and some great updates, as well as Mary Burgard, our VR supervisor. I was blown away with the information she provided in a good way with respect to what's going on for clients, for staff. So with that said, Tyrell, the floor is yours.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. And Nicole, that was a great success story, and I had a great success story for sure. I am Tyrell Sampson. I'm the program supervisor for the Business Enterprise Program, a program within Aging and Disability Services. And I just wanted to kind of update you all with our current position as a program. As we stand to date. So over the past year, our program staff has really been engaged in supporting the business operators with their established facilities. And we've also launched a pilot vending program. And several individuals within the program is participating in this pilot opportunity. And with this opportunity, it essentially allowed for operators to select vending machines under our statewide vending contract to oversee, in the sense of carrying out responsibilities of auditing the machines, verifying pricing is correct to compare with the statewide vending contract pricing, They're essentially just doing light wipe downs of the machines. They're speaking with agency heads to ensure that the machines are operational and that they're providing the items in which the majority of folks who